This morning, we're going to go back into our teaching we started last week, dealing with the area of righteousness. And I entitled this A Righteous Consciousness, and because things that God's been dealing with me on this subject, because we could teach specifically on the subject of righteousness, but the whole thing of it is you have to take on a righteous consciousness. In other words, what you're conscious of. You know, we're all conscious of certain things. Some people are conscious of, you know, things around them or things that's in that they're thinking about. Some of the things may not even be a reality or actually true, but it's in their consciousness. And as they walk and live their life, it affects them. You know, it affects their decisions, it affects what they do. And it's one thing, as we need to understand as Christians, God wants you to have a right consciousness about you, especially for approaching Him and asking Him for things. Or in your relationship. Many people don't fellowship much with God, and the reason they don't, and I'm talking about from a Christian standpoint, not the world, is because they really don't have themselves a consciousness that, you know, they see God is so much better than me. You know, we have things that have been taught to us over time, and there is a sense of truth to them, but they have been really said too much. There's been too much emphasis put on them. You know, people make the statement, and you know, from the standpoint of our, they talk about the love of God and our redemption. They said, you know, that, you know, when they look at God's redemption of us, and, you know, God redeemed us because He loved us, you know, we didn't deserve it. But you know, an actual teaching of Scripture, God considered you deserved redemption. I want to tell you this. If you didn't deserve redemption, God wouldn't have given it to you. God saw that man deserved redemption. That's why God's righteous. If God redeemed you and you did not deserve it, does that mean you say, I don't deserve it? And see, when we look at deserve it, in other words, I know it's a lot of people may have a thinking about that. I don't deserve it from the standpoint of earning, but that doesn't mean that it's something that God didn't, you know, God didn't want to really do it, but He just, oh, I got to do it for these people. I'm just going to try to keep these idiots out of hell. You know, I'm just going to try to do something. That's not what He did. Because we want to look at righteousness today. We're going to read some scripture today. The basis of righteousness. The basis of our righteousness is based on a righteous God who did what was righteous. We talked about last week, and think about this, when we talked about last week, the scriptures where it talked about God talking about the need of people. Jesus said about God knows you need clothing and you need food. You know they need, He wants you, and we found out He wants to dress you good. He wants you to have good things. And then He told us how we arrive at the place where we can have these things that God wants. He said, don't do what the world does. The world, or the people out here that aren't in the covenant with God, the term was referred to as Gentile, but the Gentile at that time did not have a covenant with God. Jesus was speaking. They didn't have a covenant. He was speaking of the heathen, the one who doesn't have a covenant. And He said, what you do, in other words, if you want your needs supplied, He said, the way you do this is by seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He didn't say seek your righteousness. He said seek His righteousness. So you need a comprehension and understanding of the righteousness of God. If you understand righteousness, so you can look at love and say, oh, love is really great. But what does love do? Righteousness is the actions of love. It is. It's the righteousness. God, because He loves, He does what's right. And you know what doing what right was? Redeem you. That was the right thing to do. See, when God looked at humanity, God created man and the earth. His loss concerning man, Adam and Eve in the garden. This morning, we had a psalm read up here. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that dwell therein. You know, man belonged to God. You know, for God to turn around and say, well, I didn't really want to redeem man, but I got to do it. Just, you know, we put it on sort of those terms. You know, we didn't deserve it. Hold it. We were His. We're His. If He cast us out, He don't act right. He don't do what's right. God's righteous. God is righteous. He always acts in a righteous way. We're told that God through Christ, we read last week, looking over in 2 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, speaking about our salvation there. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But we found out in those scriptures as we read down through that God reconciled the world to himself. It says he reconciled. It didn't say he's going to reconcile the world to himself. It says he's done it. It's already done. He's talking about the world. He's talking about mankind, lost man. He reconciled, and he said he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, and is to telling people that God's not holding sin against them anymore. See, we have the whole thing is when you come to Christ, and most people preach it and say it, you gotta, you know, confess your sin. Well, if you have to confess your sin to get saved, then God is holding sin against you, isn't he? Well, see, the scriptures don't teach that. Man added those things in. Really, they added things in that damaged the righteousness of God. Man's view of God's righteousness ain't as good as it really is. And it's because of the preaching. God's already dealt with the sin issue for people to be born again. God is reconciled to man. Jesus Christ, through what he did, now puts it over in a thing. Now man can reconcile himself to God. God's not against me. God's not against anybody in this earth. He's not against any human being. In other words, the sin issue is not what keeps man away from God. Why man is away from God, it deals with man's response to Christ. Man can be reconciled to God through Christ. It's about me reconciling myself to God. See, I lived 30 years unreconciled to God. And one day I accepted Jesus Christ. What I did is I reconciled myself to God. God was always reconciled to Ed. He was never holding sin against me. He was never doing it. He wasn't holding sin against me. I wasn't going to end up in hell because of sin. See, people say, well, you sin, you go to hell. If you sin, you went to hell. Every one of us would end up in hell. Is anybody here not sinned since they've been a Christian? People will end up in hell and eventually in the lake of fire over faith in Christ Jesus, not over sin. And see, God's righteousness is so much better than it's been preached. It is so much more incredible. And the most incredible thing that blows my little mind is I have it. It was given to me. The Bible says we have the gift of righteousness. My God. But God's righteousness is absolutely phenomenal. Now I want to read you just a scripture, one scripture from Matthew 5:20. Just something Jesus said. You don't have to turn there. If you want to, you can. But Jesus made this statement, and it's sort of maybe an amplification of the way maybe sort of we looked at righteousness. But Jesus said this. He told the people, but he was speaking really about something future, but he made this statement. In the 20th verse of Matthew 5, he said, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God." In other words, your righteousness. And understand this. Now, we need to know, Jesus never ridiculed the Pharisees or the scribes when for following the law. They actually following the law. He couldn't. If he criticized them, then he was guilty of sin. Because he came to fulfill the law. Jesus followed all the law. He criticized them for making laws that weren't the law of God. But never did he ever criticize anybody for following the law. The apostle Paul spoke concerning himself as being a Pharisee, which he was. He was of that sect, this Pharisees. And he said, according to the law, he was blameless. Wow. He said, I was blameless. In other words, I did everything according to the law. I was blameless in regard to the law. Yet we find Jesus said here, your righteousness must exceed that righteousness. In other words, the righteousness of the law could never save man. Following all the rules and regulations down to the T would bring no salvation to man. In other words, when he said to this to people, I sort of always wondered, what did they think when he made that statement? Did they think, oh my God, we're finished. Man, we're done. We've been doing the law. We've been trying to practice this thing we were trying to do. But he said, your righteousness must exceed that. But what he was speaking about, because there was a righteousness to come, what Jesus Christ was going to do, he was going to provide for us a righteousness that was above the righteousness of the Pharisees, that any person could enter the kingdom of God. Any person could do that. Any person could enter in. So there was a righteousness that God had planned for men. You know, I want you to see something. Paul wrote this in the 1 Corinthians, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, writing to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was a very carnal church, not walking and living right. But you know what? Paul dealt with them concerning things of righteousness and things. But Paul never dealt with them like they weren't Christians. But he did deal with them that they weren't living like Christians. In other words, they weren't portraying, is what the Lord told me years ago. He said, many Christians live a lie. Now he said, if you told them they live a lie, they'd get mad at you. He said, they'd be upset, but he said, they live a lie because they don't live like who they really are. He said, they're born again children of God. He said, they're holy and set apart by me. But he said, they live like they're not. He said they're portraying a lie of something that they aren't to other people. They're making people in the world think they're just like they are. And he said they're not. They're portraying a lie to people. And really, in a lot of ways, that's what Paul dealt with these people here, because he talked of, don't you know that you're a temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? Don't you guys know this? He was dealing with them with the fact, you're something better than what you've been living. You're something better. And so, really, dealing with information. But Paul's in the 15th chapter, verse 33 says, he made this statement, he says, do not be deceived. He said, evil company corrupts good habits. Now look at verse 34. He says this, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For he said, some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He's talking to Christians. Well, they don't have the knowledge of God, but I want you to see what he said. He's made this statement, awake to righteousness, and then he said, and do not sin. He didn't say, and do not sin and be righteous. Oh, that's the way the church world preaches it. Do not sin and be righteous. Now, we do want acts of righteousness. This is what he's trying to get them to do. Acts of righteousness. We need to understand, you need to understand righteousness. If you don't have the knowledge of righteousness, you're going to sin. That's why a sin consciousness is preached in the church. The church world preaches, you're just going to sin. You're just going to sin. Why? Because they don't preach righteousness. I will guarantee you there's many preachers in this here America would think the things that I'm talking to about is heresy. They don't care what the Bible says about it. They will not equate themselves with God and God's righteousness. They won't do it. Ah, who do you think you are? I just want you to know it's who I know I am. It's not who I'm thinking about I am. It's who I know I am. And so, but what happens was, see, people end up with a sin consciousness instead of a righteous consciousness. So what we need to do is we need, in other words, he said, what? Awake to righteousness. And then he made this statement. He said, for some do not have the knowledge of God. He equated not understanding righteousness as not knowing God. Many Christians don't know God. Oh, they'll swear about this. I have a personal relationship. They don't even know God. Righteousness is part of what God, it's His character. It's what He is. If you don't know God's character, it's just like, if you don't know an individual's character, you don't know them. You only find it because Jesus made this statement, by their fruits you will know them. You don't know anybody till the fruit shows up. You have never known anyone. How many people do that, turn around and got married, and then the fruit showed up and they said, man, I didn't think I was married. Well, you should have waited long enough till you saw the fruit. And then you wouldn't be griping today about what you got. You should have waited till you saw the fruit. Why? It takes time to see fruit. You ever notice that? Now, I know maybe I'm the only one in life ever did crazy things like that. I know the rest of you are just so much more intelligent than me. But, you know, people making wrong decisions, they don't wait to see what comes out of it. This is one thing. God is righteous. God wants us to understand. Righteous is God's character. It's what comes out of love that we see of Him. You know, God, you know, it's just like a person says, you know, a man says to a wife, I love you. I mean, how many times have you seen this? Something happens in a marriage and goes wrong, you know, and one of them has cheated on the other, done something. They said, yeah, but I love you. But now hold it. Their fruit really is a manifestation of their righteousness. And you know what? Their fruit wasn't right, was it? You know, Mike was talking about fruit up here today. That's good stuff. You need to understand this because it's a manifestation of your righteousness. God saving you and I, God saving you was a manifestation of His righteousness. It's God's character. It's God's character. God could not save you. If He wouldn't have saved you, He would have a flawed character. Why? Because He's righteous. God was, through love, was just, He is divinely motivated to redeem humanity. He's in the saving business, and His righteousness really is a manifestation of that character. It's what He carried out and what He did through Jesus Christ. The whole act of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, was a manifestation of the righteousness of God. It's the Father. That's why, you know, I've often wondered why, I don't understand why, you know, some people, they look at Jesus being one way and the Father being another way. I want to tell you, love started with Daddy. Redemption started with the Father. The Father's the one that set the plan of redemption into motion. Jesus didn't. The Father established the plan. If anybody loves me, Jesus can't love me more than Daddy loves me. Hallelujah, that's an impossibility. Jesus don't have a better righteousness than Daddy because Jesus is in line with Daddy, has that righteousness, and I got God's righteousness. I got the same one Jesus got. Hallelujah. We got the same. Like Mike said, we can't get a better one. How do you get a better God? How do you get a better righteousness than God has? You can't do that. You know, if we look at righteousness, so man's work couldn't attain righteousness. Man's work can attain it. But we need to gain a knowledge of that righteousness. We need to, because if you're going to know God, you have to understand righteousness, because righteousness is His character. You know, sometimes you hear the term used, and like, this guy's righteous, or in other words, he'll do what's right, they'll say that. Now, you hear this term used sometimes, it has nothing to do with Christianity, but what they're talking about is an individual's character, maybe on a certain thing. They'll talk about a certain thing of a person being honest, they'll say, you know, he's righteous, concerning his character in being honest. It's made, that statement's made. Why? That's his character. In that area, he's an honest guy. You know, my dad, concerning honesty, he was righteous. My dad would have never thought ever taking anything that didn't belong to him or anything. He would never consider even, you know, never even got that thought past his mind on that stuff. In the areas of honesty, you know, as a kid, I mean, he'd go into the bank and borrow money. They wouldn't even have him sign papers. The president of the bank would say, oh, Clyde, don't worry about that. We'll make up the papers. You don't have to sign them. He said, you shake my hand, that's enough for me. I mean, today, you couldn't get half the Spirit-filled, born-again Christians would steal from you and wouldn't pay the bill and say, well, I'm just sorry, I just don't have the money. But see, my dad was righteous when it came. He was, in other words, his character and his quality of things. Look what that character did for him, or that righteousness did for him. That righteousness and his righteousness of character, how he acted toward other people. It's just like the guy in the bank, you know, the president of the bank with my dad was like, you know, my dad's righteousness affected that man. How he viewed and how he did business with my dad. His righteousness. Well, see, it's just like God. See, many Christians are sort of staying back with God. They're sort of like, you know, yes, I know, I'm his child, I'm this, I'm that, but still don't have the boldness and confidence toward God. It's because they don't know His character, they don't know what He's like. See, we see in the Word. The Word tells us things. When the Word tells us things, that's why He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. You need to learn to get around Him. You can't stand off from Him and really get to know Him. You've got to get around Him. The Bible tells us all these wonderful things, so we'll get around Him. In Romans, I'm going to read a number of scriptures today from Romans, because Romans talks about righteousness. And we're going to look at what scriptures say. Men have said a lot of things, but let's look at what scripture says about it. Now, I want to first look at Romans, the fourth chapter, because I want you to see in Romans, the fourth chapter, concerning righteousness and the basis of our righteousness. And it says in Romans, the fourth chapter, in verse 3, we're going to read 3 through 5. And it says this, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. See, this is why, you know, it used to always trouble me when ministers, when I'd hear ministers say, you know, write down all your giving or things like that, and then when you go pray, take it to God. Hold it. You're dealing with the area now, I did these wonderful things, you owe me this. See, what you're doing is you're approaching God on the basis of debt, and this is not having anything to do with grace. I want you to know this. I've had times where my performance wasn't so great, but I still went to God and said, God, I know I messed up. I know I did wrong. But your word says you bless me. And he said, you're right, bud. I'm going to bless you. Why? I pleased him. Because my approach to him was based upon his grace and not upon my performance. Most people are only bold before God when they feel their performance has been good enough. And they wonder why their prayers don't get answered. They won't get answered. You're trying to get payoff. I don't get payoff from God. He's already blessed me with every blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That's been done. It's already... God's dumped stuff to our account that is enormous. And what God says, we come into that place, it tells us here. In other words, we're not coming for payment. It's sort of like being raised in a rich family. You know, there's already to your account, man. You know, it's just like, you know, the wealth, if you have a whole lot of wealth, what is it? It's already to account. In other words, The kid ain't coming to the parents to get something on payoff. The kid thinks his parents ought to do stuff for him because they're his kid. Christians don't get that. They're still trying to earn. They're still trying to earn. They don't know the righteousness of God. They don't know His righteousness, His character. They don't know that He can't earn. Abraham's faith was accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham's performance was not accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham's deeds were not accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham believed that God was going to bless him, like he said. Now, Abraham did certain things, but he did them because of what he believed. He believed God was going to bless him over that land, so he went there to get the blessing. He wasn't going over there from the standpoint, if I go and earn this thing, I'll get a blessing. He went, well, the blessing's falling over there. I'm getting over there. That's where Dad's depositing over there, so I'm going to run over here and get it. He wasn't running over there trying to please God so someday he could get something. He believed God was going to bless him over there, so let's get over there because I want the blessing. See, most people, they're trying to earn the blessing. Well, I'm going to do what God says so I get blessed. But they're looking at it from an earning standpoint than rather than a grace, from the grace of God. Well, verse 5 says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. It says justifies. That word can be translated and can be put there. Or believes on him who he says here, justifies the ungodly or makes the ungodly righteous. It says what? His faith is accounted for righteousness. What accounts me to righteousness? It is my faith. It's my believing God. I believe it's true. See, we got to learn to have actions of righteousness. They must be by faith. You know what pleases God? Here's an act of righteousness. Let's say I'm asking God to help me for something in a situation, and I ask God for His help, and His Word says a certain thing about it, declares a certain promise. Here's how faith is a performance of righteousness. I go to God, and I, according to Mark 11:24, and I pray and I ask God, and I go and I say, Lord, Your Word says such and such, that You've done this for me or done that for me. Lord, I want to thank You. The Word declares it. Now, I believe I receive that in the name of Jesus. I believe You've given that to me. I believe what Your Word says. I have just declared, really, what I have done is righteous in the presence of God. That's what righteousness is. I have followed faith. I'm believing God gave it to me before I receive it. That's righteous. Faith constitutes righteousness. See, most people, here's what most people do. They're trying to earn that thing. Well, I'll tell you what. And they go this, you know, measure. Well, God, I'm just asking You to give this to me. And, you know, they go through the whole rigmarole. But they're walking around. Now, I got to act good and be good so this thing shows up. And they're not operating in the areas of faith. They have never pleased God. They've never acted righteously to God. They have acted like God didn't mean what He said. When He said, you know, as by His stripes you were healed, they're acting like He lied about that. So they don't believe they received it when they pray. They didn't act righteously. So what? They have not done any actions toward the grace of God by faith. They're acting just like the world would act, is God hasn't done it yet. I'm waiting for Him to do it. He hasn't given that to me yet. When I see it, then I'll know He gave it to me. That's an unrighteous act of God. That's unrighteousness, because that's not a faith. Faith says He did it. Faith says He's blessed me. So my action is a right action. Many people don't see that. They're so worried about what they did after they prayed, but while they were praying, they were acting unrighteously and annulled anything they would have ever wanted to get. Their actions were never of faith. And that's why it's hard for them to walk out of that place of prayer and act righteously, because they have never committed a righteous act in what they asked. See, faith is righteousness. Abraham believed. God said, go over there. Abraham said, yeah, I believe you. Hey, I'm heading over. See it over there? He's heading out across over there. I believe God's going to bless me. He believed God was going to bless him. He wasn't going over there to see if God would bless him. If I'm going over there to see God bless me, you may just be wasting your time. You will be. See, we need to get over the areas of faith. You know, it's like today, people talk about things and blessing is one thing. You know, the Bible says God will bless the labor of your hand. You know, start acting like that's true. You go on your job, quit griping and complaining all the time. God's blessing the labor of my hand. It didn't say that company is, they're going to determine how blessed I get. No, they're not. God's going to bless the labor of my hand. So I'm not just looking. I'm not looking as far as my employer can bless me. He's limited. And He will be limited. You know, He can be limited by a lot of things. He can be limited by His mind, the way that He thinks. He can be limited by His finances. He can be limited by a lot. But the Bible tells us that God would bless the labor of my hand. See, Abraham believed that he was going to get blessed going over that land. He didn't believe that going over there to see if God was going to do what he said. That's most Christians today. They don't live righteously. They walk in unrighteousness, thinking unright. They're going to see if God's going to do it or not. They're not acting. There's no acts of righteousness done. Faith is an act of righteousness. It always is. That's why the person, over the years, I've had all the time, somebody came to me about, well, I don't understand, this person over here gets blessed. How come I don't? You mostly can't talk to them about it because they don't understand the faith thing at all. They think that they ought to get something because they consider themselves better than the other guy. I'm sorry. God owes you nothing for your performance. Because your performance, I don't care how good you think it is, it stinks. But see, that person is trying to receive from God, I did good things. Hey, that's fine. Do good things. We should. We want to do good things. But you can't get things from God because you do good things. Faith is always what pleases God. Why? Because it's an act of righteousness. When you're believing God's going to do what He said, you are acting on a righteousness which is by faith. Because why? You can't get paid by your performance. That's why the only way we can get things from God is through the faith thing. And this is a wonderful thing. Don't think this faith thing's a hard thing. The hard things work. That's the hard thing. This faith thing works for everybody the same way. Works don't. Oh, man. Everybody's going to have the same performance to get the same thing. Whoa, ho, 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 ho. Man, you're limited. You're limited. Some people may have the ability to do more of certain things than maybe I could do. Uh-oh. All of a sudden, we're limited. Faith never limits me. Faith never limits you. You'll limit yourself by not operating in faith or trying to walk by works. Trying to live by works. Look at the righteousness of God. I'm going to back up in Romans to Romans the third chapter. I want to read to you here because this is just a wonderful scripture. It deals with God's righteousness. And it's just wonderful scriptures here we're going to read. And I want you to see, because these things you need to meditate on and know, because of these things reveal. Paul wrote these, you know, Paul's writing to the church at Rome was so important to God that he made sure it got into the Bible. Paul wrote a lot more letters than we have. God gave us the ones that he wanted us to have because they were the best ones for us. Doesn't mean it wasn't good stuff in other ones. But I want to tell you what, Romans covers a lot on the subject of righteousness. Covers a lot on the subject of righteousness. Now, in Romans the third chapter, verse 19 says this. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. That's what the law did. So in other words, based upon performance, when Paul talked about that under the law, you know, he was blameless. God said, you know, Paul, no matter how good you did, you have nothing to say in front of me. In other words, you come praying to me and asking me for anything based on all the good you did, you ain't getting nothing. That's sort of Ed's version there. But that's what Billy's he's saying. Every man's mouth shut in the presence of God. Because our performance can never match his righteousness. Our performance could never match his righteousness. Can't match it. So he goes on, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. Now we look before law dealing in the areas of works. The knowledge of law. What does it do? All it does, law, the areas of works to do good, does nothing but give you a sin consciousness. That's all it'll give you. The purpose of the law to Israel was for that purpose, that they would see that all their good works could never please God. They needed a redeemer. God sent them a redeemer, but they loved the works and they killed the redeemer. I've watched in the church world today. You get a guy preaching good on righteousness and there'll be people want to kill him. Because, hold it, we got law, folks. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin used to say, he said, you get over preaching some of this stuff and he says, people say, well, my God, you're giving people a license to sin. And he used to say, you don't need to give anybody a license to sin, they'll do it. You know why? Because grace sounds too good, but you need to understand this. It's because what they don't know. The knowledge of righteousness will keep you out of sin. There is nobody who lives like hell as a Christian knows anything about righteousness. They know nothing. Oh, they run around and say, I'm the righteousness of God. That is the biggest laugh in the world because they don't have any idea what they just said. If you have the knowledge of righteousness, you'll live better. Well, we read what the scripture says. Why were these people living bad? They were living bad because they didn't know righteousness. They didn't know it. They didn't understand what it was. Righteousness will cause you, boy, the more you know about righteous, the more you'll want to live for God. Hallelujah. You find out how good God is, you just want to get away from anything and keep, let me near God. Hallelujah. So teaching these things does not lead men into sin. Leading people into sin is hiding this stuff from them. And keep telling people what a scumbag they are in the sight of God. Now, it goes on. This goes on. Verse 21 says, but now, listen to this. Now this is now. Okay, so if it was now then, it would be now to us too, wouldn't it? All right? Now, see, he's talking about the law. But now we're over in a thing, and Paul's preaching because Paul's saying, hey, hold it. He's talking to Christians. We're not under the law. Now, he's going to talk to us because our mouth ain't going to be shut. Hallelujah. Under the law, the mouths are shut before God because nobody's righteous, and anybody's works is not righteous enough to say a thing that God owes them anything or nothing. But now, what does grace do? It says, now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed. See, it's one of the things, if you want to understand the righteousness you have, you got to understand the righteousness God has, because that's your righteousness. See, most people don't understand the righteousness of God. There's no way they can understand what they are righteously. In other words, through Jesus Christ, what God did through Christ, we see now that the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. It says, what? Being witnessed, what? By the law and the prophets. Now listen to this. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. How is righteousness revealed? Through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how it gets revealed. You don't know how to operate in faith. You can't get God to reveal himself. God reveals himself by people responding in faith. God, you want to run into God's righteousness, you're going to have to respond to God by faith. And all these people fight over this faith teaching. Oh, this faith teaching stuff, it's heresy, it's this. Well, I'm sorry. Righteousness never gets... And what righteousness do I want revealed? Mine? Man, I saw my righteousness for 30 years. I saw it. No, it's the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, this. When you see the work that Jesus Christ did for mankind and humanity, that was God's righteousness in action. That's your Father doing it. Your Father ain't some old gray-haired guy sitting up there on the throne, grumpy, got, you know, holding a bolt of lightning in his hand and, you know, whatever else. And, well, let's get him, you know. Jesus, keep me from going down there after him. Hold me back, Jesus. That's what's going on. He's the guy who revealed his righteousness. Everything Jesus did in the earth. That's why Jesus said, when Jesus was in the earth, he said, I don't do anything on my own initiative. Jesus didn't go to the cross at his own initiative. He went in obedience of faith. He was obeying the Father's plan. It was Dad said, let's redeem him. I don't want to judge that bunch. I want to show my love to him. And what Jesus did was the acts of righteousness of God. It is revealed. Now, just think to this world out here, until somebody receives Jesus Christ, righteousness will never be revealed. They can't see the righteousness of God. That's why people trying to teach sinners, it don't work. It doesn't work to teach sinners. They need to accept Jesus to see the righteousness of God. Well, their eyes can be opened to the righteousness of God, of how righteous our God is. I'm telling you what, he's righteous. But his righteousness is not, I got this big righteousness and you the scumbags. You the poor people over here that you ain't getting nothing because I'm just so righteous. I am just so holy. You know, people look like, oh, I'm such a holy God. Stand back from me, you'll get fried. It's not what he was doing. He said, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now listen to what he said. To all. Now listen to what this is. To all and on all. And on all who believe. For there is no difference. This righteousness, what is it? It is to all believers. When you believed, God's righteousness was to you, and it's on you. That's what the Word says. See, people keep trying to get it. It's already to you, and it says it's on you. Woo! It ain't only to me, it got on me. Glory to God! The righteousness of God got on us! This is when it's not taught, you know what? What happens? Christians walk around, live lives, they don't even know what's on them. Christians are going around writing books trying to get on them what God already put on them. Why? Because they live by sight, not by faith. They want a feeling. They want to, you know, have some great work or something to start to believe that it's true. No, I want to tell you what, the light righteousness of God was to you, and it's on you. It's already on you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, hey, we're reading from the book, aren't we? I ain't saying nothing that the book didn't say. Now, here is the most pulled out of context scripture in the Bible. Because the subject matter here is, the subject matter is on righteousness, and the church has preached sin instead. And they took verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What was that statement put in there? Everybody's a sinner, but God, if you believe God will give you righteousness, He'll give it to you and put it on you. It wasn't to say, oh my God, you're an old scumbag. Everybody's a sinner. We're all just sinners, you know. That stuff was put on there. And see, we went and pulled scripture out of context and used that scripture to preach sin. When these scriptures are to preach righteousness to you, it's to preach how good God is. Because He said, hey, God did this for everybody because everybody sinned. So the devil can't come and say, look, you've been too bad. God can't give it to you because look what you did. Look at the things you have been involved in your life. Look what you have done. No, what He said, this righteousness, it don't matter. It's equal to everybody. Don't matter if you sin. Faith clears it up for everybody. Glory to God. Faith will put righteousness, give righteousness to you and put it on you. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, I think that's pretty good news. Because see, what they do, that their statement, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, do you know that's, if you would take how literature is written, they put that in a verse, but that's actually not in a verse. That's not a verse itself. That's part of a full statement. The full statement is being read down through. In fact, from verse 22, verse 23 is part of the statement, and it continues into verse 24, which says, what? He said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ. God said you're justified. That word justified means made righteous. You have been made righteous by your faith. You're justified even though you were a sinner, but you're justified. Righteousness has been given to you and put on you. So what are you? An old sinner saved by grace? No, you're not. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is what you are. That's what you become. Hallelujah. You become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. It says, whom God set forth as, He's talking about Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. Propitiation means a sin offering. That's what He did. So the sin offering or sin payment has been made. If the sin payment has been made, then you don't pay for the sin anymore. Your sin is paid. So get that sin out of your consciousness. That has to be removed in the fact that you see yourself as a sinner. 1 John 1:9 deals with acts where a person does unrighteous acts. It is not dealing with the Christian that they are not a righteous, born-again person. It's dealing with them having acts that aren't right. It's dealing with their action. It deals with the subject. If you read it, I taught about it on our Tuesday morning teachings. That subject matter of 1 John is about fellowship. Sinners ain't in fellowship with God, so that any moron, and you have to be a moron, you got to be listening to the devil keenly to think that sinners are in fellowship with God. It's talking about fellowship. What happens is we end up broken fellowship. It isn't talking about relationship. It's talking about fellowship. Broken fellowship. Sin causes you and I to break fellowship. Why? It brings guilt to us, not to God. God's not an enemy of yours. What it happens is when I sin and don't live right, I can't approach to God confidence. Ain't nobody can tell me out here, these guys preach this stuff and say, well, you know, you can go sin, you don't have to confess your sin, you're always forgiven. I'm going to tell you what, if you're a Christian, your own human spirit will say to you, you're out of line. Your own human spirit, the Bible says is, if your conscience doesn't bother you, then you can ask God. But if your conscience bothers you, John wrote about it. John wrote and said, you have to have confidence before Him. If your conscience is bothering you, you can't have confidence before God. And your conscience, your human spirit, if you sin, your own human spirit will keep you from going to God. It'll want to get it straightened out. And these guys are telling you, you don't have to straighten out. They are liars from the devil telling people this stuff. Because they're telling people to live with defiled consciences. John wrote and said, if your conscience ain't clear, you ain't going to have confidence toward God. Well, if I don't have to repent for sin, then why would my conscience bother me? It wouldn't do it. But your own human spirit is your guide to this thing. And that has to do with righteous acts. It doesn't mean that that person, in other words, is dealing in areas of fellowship. You'll never have confidence in fellowship with God living wrong. Anybody who says they do, I can take them this verse and I can tell them what God had to say on the subject. Because John wrote and said that he was telling, in 1 John, he's writing them the things Jesus taught them. That's what he said. The things that Jesus taught the disciples, and these guys would turn around and said, no, that's not for us. That's for the sinners. I didn't know Jesus was teaching the sinners when he must have had disciples there. He was teaching the sinners. But he was teaching there, he was dealing on the areas of fellowship with the area of them on their fellowship with God. Now those guys were coming along. Now he's telling them, in other words, if a person says that they're in sin, they've sinned, and tells you they don't, it says what? They're a liar and they don't do the truth. That's talking to a Christian, is a liar who has unrighteous acts. Now they're unrighteous acts. That doesn't mean that the person is not a Christian. What happens is the thing that Jesus said to me about. He said, really, they're living a lie. They're a righteous person performing unrighteous acts in front of other people. And he said, really, they're living a lie. That's not what they are. They're perpetrating lies to people. And now we have preachers telling people to perpetrate the lying people. Go ahead and sin. You don't have to fix it. Go ahead and cheat husbands and wives, cheat on each other. You don't have to repent. Hey, you're already forgiven. Why would you have to go to your mate and say, I'm sorry? You don't have to go to your mate and you're sorry. You're already forgiven. That thing Jesus said that if you have something against your brother, you go get that thing straightened out and then come. All that's out too, man. So we don't have to fix nothing no more. But see, what it does is that deals in the areas of broken fellowship. If a person doesn't understand how fellowship works in righteousness, you know what happens when they sin? They run away from God. You don't understand righteousness, you'll run away. You keep listen to these preachers that preach, you can just go ahead and sin. God is going to forgive you. You're going to be a person who's going to be always standing off from God. You're going to eventually get to the place your prayers aren't going to answer, and the devil will probably kill you early in life. I'm serious. You got to understand righteousness and how it works. We want to walk and live in this place of righteousness of God. You need to understand the righteousness and how good it is, the goodness of God. You understand it and you miss the mark, the first thing you'll do is run to God. And that's what we want to do. We don't want anything holding us between our fellowship with God. Because when fellowship is broken with God, you can't see righteousness. Righteousness is revealed. When you're walking in darkness, ain't nothing revealed. You can't see. You need to be able to see righteousness. That's why. It's when we live righteous and we walk righteous, and if we miss the mark, we keep ourselves pure before God. Why? So we can continually see the one who's righteous. We can see. We end up, that's why it says, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Your approach to God, you don't see yourself as, I missed the mark. I'm not good enough. If a person stays over there and thinks they can just sin, they're going to keep over in the area where after a while, they won't even approach God anymore. They won't approach Him anymore. You know, you get over believing these things. They get so wrong. I can take you out here. I can show you. I've talked to people who are in other religions, believe all kind of stuff. And they sure believe. I mean, if you go out here and you went to a Muslim that's out here strapping a bomb on their back and they're going around blowing up other people, that guy might surely think that he's going to go to paradise and there he's going to have, you know, how many virgins and whatever. But hey, folks, he believes that. Don't think that you're a Christian. You can't believe crazy things. I run into Christians all the time that are a little bit on the insane side. Breathe crazy things. Some of them are preachers. Thank God they all don't believe that way. But hallelujah, they're believing insane things. But what those things do is those things are error and wrong, and what they do is lead you into darkness. You can't see righteousness. See, fellowship leaves you over in the area where righteousness is revealed to you. The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God will always lead a person to repentance. The righteousness of God always, just like with the sinner, didn't the righteousness of God lead us? It's the kindness, the Bible says the kindness of God leads men to repentance, doesn't it? If you can't see it, if it's hidden, you can't respond to it. I want to read just back over into Romans, the third chapter. We were reading back down in verse 25, said, God, who set forth His Son as a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate what? His righteousness. Why did God send Jesus? To demonstrate His righteousness. And He said, to demonstrate Jesus' righteousness? No, this is the Father's righteousness. God operated through Jesus. Your daddy operated through Jesus Christ to reveal. In other words, Jesus Christ was the revelation of God's righteousness. You want to know how your daddy feels about you? Do you want to know why that Jesus made the statement, said, you can ask the Father anything in my name, He'll give it to you. Do you think that's over there, that's just a big shot on Jesus? No, it's not. Daddy decided that one. Daddy set up the plan that if anybody comes to Him in the name of Jesus, He's going to respond to him. It didn't say sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says maybe, sometimes He says wait. That is all false doctrine. We've added to these things. Is why? Because people don't believe that Daddy's as good as He is. Jesus Christ is the picture of the righteousness of God. He is a picture of the righteous. He is the outgrowth of what God's character of righteousness is. We saw it in demonstration, but all of it was Daddy's character. In Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus demonstrated God's righteousness. He says, because in His forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed. What? To demonstrate at this present time His righteousness. How righteous He is. Our daddy's so good. Hallelujah. That He might be just, or He might be what? Righteous. And the justifier, or the righteousness of the one who has faith in Jesus. Even the just. In other words, that you might be just and the justifier. You have been justified by God because of faith. You're justified. You're justified. So many people are trying to be, Christians are trying to be justified instead of receiving their justification. I go to God and ask from, I don't have to be justified, get justification to ask anything from the Father. I've already been justified through faith in Christ. I have the right, which comes from righteousness, to ask anything according to His will. I know He hears me. And if I know He hears me, then I know I have the petition I requested of Him. Why? Because I'm justified. I'm not justified by performance. This is why people's faith don't work. They're always trying to get healed, get this and that, based on something, you know, mankind, you know. That's why all this stuff out here, we don't see much in the areas of divine healing like we'd like to, because everybody's trying to do diets and eat certain things and do certain stuff and trying remedies and all this kind of stuff and doing all these things. And they, why? Because they don't believe they're justified before God. We got to try to make this thing. We got to get our works involved in it, because God can't heal me without the right lunch. Well, we don't see it as that, but this is what's happening. There's nothing about it. If you want to eat certain things, eat certain things. But if you think you're going to get from God based on lunch, forget it. God's not moved by your diet. He's moved by faith in Christ Jesus. Because when you act in faith toward Christ Jesus, you're demonstrating God's righteousness, which He demonstrated. You're demonstrating it. Hallelujah. Trust in God. And see, we don't have much taught along these lines. We've mingled so much in together and watered down so many things. As we got away from the things of how good God is and what He'll do for you. My God. I mean, just in these scriptures alone. If you just meditated on this section here I read in Romans, and you just read, man, if you read and meditate on that till you really understood it, my God, the devil, you wouldn't have near the trouble. I mean, my words, he'd be scared to death to get around you. Why? Because it is so good. When you look at it and say, man, this is the God that's on our side. This is the God that delivered us. And He didn't deliver you because, you know, well, I've got to do this just because, you know, I'm a God of love. Man, He wanted to do it. He saw us as something valuable that was His. And He didn't want the devil to steal any. How bad it is that people have died and gone off lost and are in hell And God loved him the whole time. He displayed his righteousness. He bought and paid for them, yet they chose to go to hell. They were bought. He bought them. He paid for it. There's not going to be a problem. You know, when you accept Jesus, there ain't, you know, God don't turn around and write the devil a check and throw it over there too. Okay, this belongs to me now. I use a lot of Christians think like that. I mean, all those in hell belong to him. He paid for every one of them down here. But the devil didn't steal them off to hell. They will never go down there and say, they're going to say, God, the devil made me do it. He said, no, this is the choice you made. This is your choice. I paid for you and you said, I didn't want that payment. You wanted something else. And see, this is why we want to preach the goodness of God. We preach the righteousness of God. We tell people about, this is the righteous God. You deserve through sin, you may have deserved something. You may have deserved it because of your actions, but God didn't believe you deserved it. God thought you deserved something better. God thought you deserved His righteousness. I mean, that's the most phenomenal thing is to think. I mean, my mind has a hard time wrapping around the fact. I know it in the inside it's true, but my mind goes tilt sometimes thinking about the fact that God made us as righteous as He is. You need to understand, if you're not, then you're not seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can't come to the throne of grace boldly. You can do none of that stuff if you don't have God's righteousness, because that's the only way you could get at that throne. That's the only way any man could ever get to heaven. It wasn't until man got the righteousness of God. When Jesus stepped into the holies of holies of heaven and put His blood down, from that point anybody responded to Jesus Christ became born again and became God's own righteousness. My God. You became as righteous as Jesus Christ. Well, I know that we're as righteous as Jesus Christ because you could never be what the Bible says. You could never be a joint heir with Christ unless you were as righteous as He is. God's not rewarding sinners. He's rewarding saints. You got born again. You became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and God made you a joint heir. That word joint heir is a co-equal heir. Can you imagine that? You're co-equal. Why? You got the same righteousness. See, we see ourselves groveling around the throne. That's a picture of Christianity. Groveling around the throne. Oh God, we're so unworthy. And I always think about what Kenneth Hagin got, was caught up to heaven, got in front of Jesus. And Jesus rebuked him about not really doing what he was supposed to do with the ministry he gave him. And he fell down his knees. He said, Lord, I'm so unworthy. And he said, Jesus got downright angry. He said it looked like fire was coming out of his eyes. And he said, stand on your feet. He said, I made you worthy. He said, he pointed his finger in my face and said, I made you worthy. You don't get to heaven and talk that stupid religious stuff. That's why prayers don't get answered. You go around, I'm going to tell you, say, Jesus, the Bible says He made you worthy. So you act like He made you. You don't get in His face because, why? That's an unrighteous act to stand in front of Jesus and denounce His righteousness He gave to you. I didn't earn this righteousness, but nonetheless it was given to me by God and it was given for a purpose so you and I can demonstrate the righteousness of God. For me to throw it aside is a slap in the face to God. For me to say I'm not worthy of this righteousness. See, this is what the devil wants you to do. You mess up in this life and you sin. The devil wants you to start saying I ain't worthy of this righteousness. I can't live by this thing. I can't. He wants you to get over it. He don't want you to run to God and say, God, I blew it. Praise God, you cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Glory, glory. No. He don't want you to be happy about this. He wants you to still be this old sad religious thing. That's what he wants you to do. Wander around talking about what you can't do. That's good preaching anyhow, folks. I mean, some of you are looking at me like a dog in a new dish. But I want you just to see this morning, and we're talking about, we're going to go on with this as we go on to it. I have scriptures that we're going to go through in Romans because I really felt compelled, the Holy Spirit, just go down through scriptures and go down through what the scriptures say. Some of them are very repetitive, but we're going to keep saying it till we get so righteous consciousness, we're just going to go blow up, man. We're just going to go somewhere and act like Jesus. Hallelujah. We're just going to go somewhere and be, my God, what religion are these folks? We ain't seen none of that. Now, that's their standard. You're going to receive criticism. See, I remember back in the early 80s when I got born again, there was really good glimpses we got because righteousness was being taught back then. You know, it's one thing really, really upsets me, because really what the church did is the church replaced a lot of these teachings with the money became the big thing. And you know what happens? See, if righteousness isn't taught, other things are taught more. They get out of balance. And what happens is people end up, then the love of money starts. Because see, righteousness is what keeps a balance on you. Righteousness is a wonderful thing, because, you know, righteousness keeps you acting like God, so you don't get into weird stuff. Righteousness, and when you understand how good God is, I don't have to chase money. My God, my daddy, he said he owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He's the one that all the silver and gold belong to him. And he put me in the earth, and he told Kenneth Hagin, when he taught Kenneth Hagin about prosperity, he said, the silver and gold down there in my day belong to me. He said, I didn't give them to the devil's crowd. He said, I gave them to my kids. And the church, no, just let the devil have it. Why? Because of the areas of righteousness, they don't understand. Because the church don't see themselves as righteous. They don't see themselves as deserving of such good. And that's why when they do get it, they mishandle it when they get it. They blow it and everything else, and they're out chasing the money. Because they don't know how good daddy is. Daddy owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. In other words, he owns all the cows. You know, everything that this earth, God gave Adam, everything in charge of it, he made with his hand. He gave it to him. He told you rule over it. And you know what? We're sitting around letting the devil rule over it. Why? Because we don't know who we are. We don't think we have the right to demand what belongs to us. This is why Christians don't ever tell the devil to get his hands off anything, even on their own bodies. They let him live on it. It's because, I'm just praying and ask God. I'm just trying to change. I'm just trying. You know, the righteousness of God, devil, you ain't got a right to be messing with me. You have no right to mess with me. I don't care if I've done wrong. The devil don't have a right to mess with me. He's not my daddy. He's not my righteousness. Sickness has no right to me. It ain't my daddy. I don't care if I've messed up and did something and got it on me. It still doesn't have right. I have right given to me by God. I have a right to get it off me. I'm the guy with the rights. You're the guy with the rights. But we've lived like we had none. The world told us to keep it. We said, okay, yeah, we're just going to have it for the rest of our life. Maybe I can take some medication and we'll just keep limping, you know. But we're getting by. But see, it's because we haven't understood righteousness. And righteousness isn't preached. It's preached, you know, God saved you. He's given you all this good stuff. Good luck. It's true. But when you see righteousness, you would know that when you approach your Father. And if anything I want you to see this morning, that if you approach your Father in the name of Jesus Christ, if you ask anything in His name, in the name of Jesus, Dad will give it to you. He said He would do that. If you ask anything, Dad will give it to you. God wants you to understand that. That's a true statement. Is it true? Was Jesus just making something up? Did Jesus just have too much wine with the guys and just drank too many and just, he said some crazy things? It's almost been like that with the church. The church has sort of worked at making doctrines to add things to that. See, you got to come to the place that your daddy, that you're as righteous. I'm as righteous as Jesus. See, most Christians, they believe, oh, Jesus could ask anything and he'd get it. I have the righteousness of God. I ain't got a different righteousness. I didn't get a different one. Neither did you. You're as right. God made you as right before Him as Jesus is right before Him. Now, you may not be able to believe that right now, but you must come to a place where you do believe that, where you get sold on the fact that God will respond to you in prayer as quickly as He responded to Jesus in prayer. You must come to that place. We come to that place, you know, am I really seated in Christ at the right hand of God? Or is that just, that's just a nice warm picture God wants me to make me get a few goosebumps, feel pretty good about, but actually it's pretty much a lie and isn't true, and I'm just a slave over here and just, you know. No, we got to get the right picture of ourselves. We got to get this sin consciousness moved out and get this righteous consciousness. Just think about it. I mean, can you imagine the love of God in Christ Jesus, that God's love was so great through Jesus Christ that God made you as righteous as His Son. that Jesus, now just think about it, Jesus, he wasn't sitting up there in heaven saying, you know what, I'm going to end up doing this thing and I'm going to become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Boy, I'm going to be a big shot. You know what Jesus is going to do with his position? Once all redemption's carried out and it's fulfilled, Jesus is turning everything back over to the dad. He's not even, Jesus ain't going to be no, he's not made himself, he didn't do any of this to be a big deal. He did it for one purpose, to reveal the righteousness of God. To show you and I how good the Father God is. Jesus loves his daddy and knows so his daddy is so good. He just wanted to show everybody in the world how good his daddy is. And he said, you know what? You guys can ask my daddy anything in my name. He'll give it to you. Man, I'll tell you, we could live there a while. Folks, I want you, you know, you need to meditate on these things. This one, you're spending time in your life meditating on stuff and meditating on a lot of things you shouldn't be meditating on. You have to get around and meditate on the right things. You got to quit meditating on problems and troubles and get meditating on the right stuff. A lot of things will never change as long as you just keep meditating on what you've been meditating on. That's why most people, they can't get things changed. They can't, it's because their meditation is always in the wrong place. You get your meditations over in the area on the goodness of God. Because I want to think, if you will meditate on the right things, you will believe the right things. And you'll respond to the right things and you'll see things change. It will change for you. Things will change for you. But you got to get meditating on the right stuff. We're living on, Jesus said, there's trouble in the world, but I overcame it. He said he overcame it. If he overcame it, we need to start acting like it's overcome and quit living like it's not overcome and talking about them all, the tribulations, talking about the problem, talking about this has happened, that's happened, blah, 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 blah. No, he said, I have overcome it. He has overcome it. We got to live in the overcoming. We got to live in the righteousness of God. The Bible tells us we're supposed to, the armor of God to put on. One of the pieces of the armor is his righteousness. You got to put it on. God gave it to us, but we won't put it on. We keep delegating it for some other time. We won't put righteousness on. Hallelujah. He called it the breastplate of righteousness. You know, the breastplate covers, and a human body would cover all the major organs. That's what it does. In other words, it's a symbolic of something. You ain't got righteousness, you ain't covered. You don't understand it. You ain't got righteousness, your faith ain't going to work. The devil, you're a target to the devil. You're a target to him. That's all you are. That's why you want to put on righteousness. You put it on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, he didn't say that the shield of faith will stop every star, dart of the enemy or rocket of the enemy, whichever vernacular you want to talk about. But he says it will, the shield of faith. Why? Because faith works by righteousness. There's one thing about it. You don't have your breastplate of righteousness on. You ain't got a shield to hold. You ain't got no shield to hold. Righteousness is the basis of our faith. Hallelujah. We believe God. We've been made righteous. You don't see yourself as righteous. You won't believe God about a thing. All you'll see is the devil painted a bullseye on you and you became the target. That's what you'll think. That's what you'll think about life. It's sad to see. Many people are like that. They feel like, you know, and it's sad. Many Christians are feeling like they've been a target. They feel like they've been, you know, painted one on them and things just keep hitting them. But I want you to know, God wants to change your consciousness. He wants you to start to think in a different way. He wants you to start putting on a heavenly mind. Read over in Colossians. Set your mind on things above where Christ is seating the right hand of God. You can't think up there and not think righteous. Oh, if your vision up there is just, oh, ain't it nice? I wish I was there. Well, the devil's just going to be making it miserable for you while you're here. Because you won't even have the faith to leave. I'm serious. You won't have the faith to leave. The devil will just keep you living long enough and won't quite kill you. Just keep you here torturing you. Folks, I know it sounds funny, but it ain't funny. It happens all the time to people. And we don't want to be a target. Hallelujah. Because you're not supposed to be the target. You're the weapon in the hand of God. You're the one that's supposed to be blowing up in the devil's face. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're the righteousness of God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Father, I just want to thank you this morning. Lord God, for righteousness. I thank you, Lord God. What a wonderful gift.